For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm going to begin reading in Matthew 16:24-28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." God so loves the world that he gave us free will. A free will on how we conduct ourselves. A free will on the choices that we make. A free will to let us accept or reject God into our life. You see, life is precious as no one is guaranteed to live a long life. Our life can be taken away by sickness or an accident or by the evil intentions of man. But this lifetime on earth is an opportunity given by God to receive Jesus into our hearts, to be reconciled to God. We are not guaranteed another day, so there is no better time than now to receive Christ into our hearts. Don't let this opportunity become a lost opportunity. 2 points arise from this sermon. First, have you taken the opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And second, have you used this opportunity to lead others to Christ? I want to start off with a demonstration. For the purpose of people listening to this sermon via internet or CD, I will explain the demonstration. Okay. I'm holding out 2 cards. One is a blue card and the other is a red card in the same shape. And I ask the question, which card is bigger? Some of you will say the red card. And others will say the blue card. And then, as I switch the positions of the cards, some of you may change your minds. Well, the truth is, the cards are the same exact size. And the reason why I gave you this demonstration is to show you that our eyes can deceive us, but we still trust them. After Jesus rose from the grave and days later appeared to his disciples, Jesus said to Thomas, who doubted the resurrection of Christ, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." So even though our eyes can deceive us, even though they can trick us, we still value them greatly. And if someone, a billionaire, could buy your eyes from you, offer to buy your eyes for $10 million, would you sell them? I know I wouldn't, because I value them greatly. And I don't think anyone would sell their eyes. Well, Jesus says that your eyes are worth nothing compared to your soul. In Mark 9:47, Jesus said, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. So he basically wants us to prioritize things in our life. What's more valuable, the things of this world or your soul? Well, I heard a debate a couple weeks ago about a football player that said the reason why their team came back from behind and won the game is because of God. This is Russell Wilson referring to the game where the Seahawks came back and beat the Green Bay Packers. Yes, God can work in mysterious ways, but there is nothing more important to God than your soul. Never mind a game. Where was God on the Sunday when they played the Patriots? So the question is, where do you value your soul? Well, Jesus values your soul more than anything. Jesus willingly and freely suffered and died on a cross. He took the penalty for our sins so that our souls may be redeemed, so that our souls can be reconciled to God, so that our salvation of our souls can be secure. And again, I emphasize, God has given us one lifetime, one opportunity to be at peace with God. Does God have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? The book with the names of the souls that are made right with God. If you have not made peace with God, then hell is a destination for every lost soul. Revelations 20:14-15 read, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, what Satan is very successful at is blinding people with worldly things, with lust, desires, anything to prevent the person from realizing their need for Christ. And Satan wants to trick you into giving worldly things, for example, money, a higher value than your soul. Basically, he wants you to walk away from God like the rich young ruler did, valuing his possessions more than his soul. He doesn't want you to make your soul the priority. Well, Satan isn't man's only problem, because we have a sin nature that contaminates us. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death spread to all men because all sinned." So automatically, from birth, we are separated from God. He is holy, and we are sinful. Because of Adam's disobedience to God, every person born of man's seed has a sin nature. We may try to bridge the gap through good morals or good works or religiosity. If that's a word. But I tell you that God says none of these things will get you into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You see, we can have good morals, but that doesn't mean we are perfect in God's eyes. James 3:2 says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man able to bridle the whole body. And none of us are perfect. There's only one perfect, and that is Jesus. What about religion? See, there are many religions that don't lead one to the true God, Jesus, but rather point people away from Jesus. Religions can put people on a works program, a to-do list. And as we know, works are insufficient because they take away from the grace of God and put more emphasis on yourself and the work you're doing. Isaiah 57, 12 and 13 reads, I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. Basically saying, let the statues you pray to, let them save your soul. So back to our sermon text, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Can't give morals, good morals. We can't give works. Never mind being religious. There is nothing we can give. But we can receive. We can receive Christ into our hearts. That is the only way. Jesus said it himself in John 3:3. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We'll repeat that. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born again happens through faith. Faith in Christ and Christ alone. To believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God. That Jesus lived a sinless life and freely chose to die on a cross and take the wrath of God. The penalty of our sins that we deserve. And to believe that on the third day after his death, Jesus resurrected from the grave. Through this victory over death, we accept him by faith as our Savior and trust in his promises of eternal life. I ask the question, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in his work? Do you believe in his promises? If the answer is yes, take the opportunity to come to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness because you broke his holy law. You've offended God because you sinned against him. Accept his free gift of eternal life through his only begotten Son, Jesus. And give Jesus the authority to lord over your lives. Again, apart from Jesus, we have no hope of heaven. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Amen. He's the only door that we can walk through. There is no other. There is no other name given among men from heaven in which we can be saved. Because Jesus is the name above all names. And in his name we have life. Have you taken this opportunity to receive him? I hope so. Second, have you taken the opportunity to share Jesus with others, with loved ones? Because we all have regrets in our life. Let not sharing the gospel, the good news with others, especially for the ones you love, be one of them. Be a regret in your life. So just to know that God has given you this amazing gift, this gift so great that it values anything in this world, and you just want to keep it for yourself and not share the good news, not share the hope with others, especially your family members or other people that you love, don't give yourself the regret of seeing that loved one that was lost lie in a casket, and you could have helped save that soul, help spread the word, help plant a seed, help direct them to Jesus. I just recently lost a loved one, and the doctor gave him a 2 to 6 month window of life. Well, he died the next day. And I can be comforted though, because Jesus was his Lord and Savior. So I tell you, I ask you, don't hesitate. Don't let the opportunity become a lost one to share the word, especially with loved ones. Even if you have to do it over and over again, just to let it sink in. Just hope that maybe one day that it might cut through. John 4:35 says, "Do not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Don't wait for the time to be perfect when you decide to do something or say something, because it never will be. Remember, sharing the gospel isn't only for the down and out. It isn't only for the people with problems. The word of God is for everyone, including our loved ones. There is none righteous. So use the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Use it to pierce their hearts. Help them realize that their souls are in danger, and that their souls are worth fighting for. Their souls are worth saving. Our souls are more valuable than anything in this world. And Jesus did all the work for us. He paid the price. Take this opportunity to receive Him and share Him with others before it's too late. Brothers and sisters, we are like spiritual firefighters. We can share the word with others, either through love or fear. But either way, God has given us the privilege, this awesome, mighty privilege. He has enlisted us to help pull lost souls out of the fires of hell before it's too late. Will you do that? In conclusion, I want to share a poem entitled "A Letter from an Unsaved Friend." It reads, "My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you day by day, and never did you show the way. You knew the Savior in truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. You see, my knowledge then was very dim, and you could have led me safe to him. Though we live together here on earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand before eternal hell. Because of heaven's glory, you did not tell. So please share the word with everybody, including your loved ones. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity you have given us. This opportunity to receive your only begotten Son into our hearts. To receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for this almighty, gracious gift. We are eternally grateful, Father. Thank you, Father, for helping us realize that our souls are more valuable than anything in this world or of this world. So valuable that you sent your only begotten Son to take the wrath, to take the penalty for our souls, to take our place. And we are so grateful, Father. Father, also thank you for the opportunity to share Jesus with others. Thank you for giving us this privilege, this mighty privilege that you've given us, Father. I'm just so grateful. Let us do something with it. Let us go out into the world and sow a seed. Help them realize that their souls are in danger, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us this gracious gift, this awesome privilege. Thank you for the opportunity to do your will and only your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. I offer one another a sign of peace.